ahead and hit record if that's okay with you.
That's fine with me.
Excellent. So, Dave, the way I've been starting most of these conversations is I've been asking people three questions. Who are you? What do you do? And how do we know each other?
Okay. My name is Dave Cormier. I am a guy who lives in Charlottetown, Prince Edward Island. I like to build stuff in my backyard. I play around on my computer. I do a lot of education stuff. My particular interest right now is in community and what it means, and what it means particularly in an online context, not for lack of interest in it in a day-to-day context, but most of my communities appear to actually be online right now. And a lot of the work that I'm doing is just trying to understand what it means to work online, to manage communities, to work with them, to develop them, to start them, to control them, to use them for educational purposes, to sort of have them show up in a place, and what it means to sort of maintain them. My day job, I actually work for the University of Prince Edward Island. I'm the web coordinator there, so I sort of coordinate their web projects and the different stuff that they do there. I also do some writing and am the now manager of EdTech Talk, which is an online community, and sort of poke my nose around here and there and a couple of other places. I have known you for, geez, must be 2.5, 3 years now. I think I probably met you through EdTech Talk and through a variety of different projects. It may have been barnstorming, where we first started the barn raising project. It may have been one of the first places I think we worked around each other. I think you were there for that. Mm-hmm. But a bunch of different online projects, and certainly you and I have sat down and had some sort of heart-to-heart talks about a bunch of things that involve our own communities online, and certainly gone beyond that too. I would like to say a friendship that that you and I have. So we have shared different parts of our community, shared like certain parts of our personal lives too. So we have sort of a complex community kind of relationship, I think, through the different things we do online and chat together.
Is that all?
No, that's it.
Yeah, I think it's about right. I would consider you a friend, and if you passed by on the street, maybe I'd know who you were, and maybe I wouldn't.
That'd be tough, actually. I'm not sure if I'd recognize you or not. I've seen your picture enough, but I see, like, one picture of you a lot, so you probably don't look exactly like that every day, so I don't know that I've seen enough different pictures of you to be able to really put together that total picture. That
exactly. I've changed since the tummy tuck, too, so.
There you go.
Things change, but you said an awful lot in the community piece, and I know that you've done a lot. I know you think a lot about community because we talked about it a lot, but I'm trying to figure out the best place to start thinking about or to start asking you about your notion of community. And I wonder if asking you to talk a little bit about your formal work on community and what it means and how communities learn would be a good place to start. Or if that would be a horrible place to start.
No, that's fine. I think I'll start with one very simple statement. I haven't the foggiest idea. I spend a lot of time thinking about communities. I spend time in communities. I work with them. I'm a member of a good number of communities, probably too many. But I'm constantly searching for that very question. What exactly is one? How do I know I'm in one? I'm working with George and Stephen and sort of helping them a little bit with their massive open online course right now, the Connectivism course. One of the main discussions, what's a community, what's a group? Terry Anderson was on the other day talking about collectives as separate from communities, as separate from groups, as separate from... It becomes a really difficult question. For me, where I try to distill this down, it's about the distinction, for me, what a community is, in my mind, and this is an evolving thought, but my current thought, if you were to hold me up against the wall right now, is that it's a transition between pure practicality in the kind of networking stuff that people do and the kind of group I see as something you're paid for, something somebody organizes you to do. A community has a little bit more than that. And when I talked about how I know you and the fact that we're actually friends as well, and that I would talk to you about baseball as well, that would have nothing to do with me learning more as a professional or getting ahead. And that's where I think the step with online communities really is, that there's an interaction, that the personalities are important, that it's not just about acquiring benefit or quality or becoming better or bigger or smarter. It's also about connecting. It's also about finding an emotional space. And certainly, I think that struck me the most when Lee Baber died. Was it 4 or 5 months ago? Is it that long ago? A few months ago now.
Yeah, it was three, four months, yeah.
Where we all kind of went, holy wow, you know, I've never met this woman personally, face to face, but I have this sort of deep feeling of loss. I still haven't taken her out of my Skype account. And I realized more and more that the connections I have with people, the reason I do the EdTech Talk shows and the EdTech Talk community shows every week is not just because I learned stuff, and certainly I do, but the membership, the learning together, the co-creation of knowledge that happens there is as much about the fact that we're friends as it is about the fact that we share a common interest and we're on the same part of the long tail, right? We happen to have cross-sectioned ourselves to know other people who have very similar interests, who are passionate about the same things that the friends in our sort of day-to-day life look at us and go, yeah, there's Dave talking about that thing again. Okay. So how are the kids, Dave? But when I talk to you and I talk to, you know, Jennifer Madrill and I talk to the people in my community online, they think it's fascinating. It's all good. You know, it's fun that I can sit down with Stephen Downs for a half an hour. I think I'll have a beer with him tomorrow night and we'll fight about really obscure points of connectivism just for fun because it entertains us and because we enjoy each other's company. And that to me, and I mean, I may be overstepping and skipping the first part of the question, but to me, that's the distinction in community. And when I look at communities in educational context, that's the thing that I'm looking for. Not just the simple creation of knowledge, not just the simple, I take this home, but what it means to get a group of people together in whatever way you're doing that and having them come together to create that knowledge. And I've had a couple of moments of making that work out. Certainly I've had moments of having it fail, but that's the thing that particularly interests me. And the Rizomatic stuff, the paper that you made reference to in the pre-show and that sort of has been out and the one I'm desperately trying to write a follow-up for right now on Rizomatic knowledge, it's about that at some level. It's about that connection and the fact that when we connect, we create contexts with the people we're connecting with. The knowledge we create there is contextual and it matters that there are real people there. And I don't think the internet actually changes that a whole lot.
So, wow, you do think about this a lot.
I do think about this a lot.
And I know that you do, and that's why I want to talk. But there's so much there I want to unpack because I'm thinking that some of the folks who might listen to this conversation are just – you know, tinkering with online community for the first time. So let me back up like a lot.
No,
that's fine. It's fine. Actually, one of the benefits of this being recorded is that I can go back and listen to it 3 or 4 times too. When you define that community, so to you, an online community is less about the online and more about, I heard you say, I think two things, the shared idea of interest. It's not quite shared interest, yeah. And then the other is the human connection piece of that too. So if I were making a Venn diagram of your definition, not that I do such things, but if I were, I think I'd have to have at least two overlapping circles: the shared interest and the human connection as well. And then there'd also be people with whom I share interests, but I don't have a human connection, and then people I have a human connection with that I don't share interests with. Did I get that right?
Yeah, and these are real communities, right? There's no expectation that you're actually going to get along with everybody.
Right.
You know, and every community has its, you know, drunken uncle, and in some communities I think I am that person. And in others, I may be a more sort of centralized person, and I'm more invested in other communities than others. And in some communities, I'm that guy who shows up occasionally. And they run the same way that normal communities do. We have these varying levels of membership. We have these places that and parts of our personality. And you can think about our personalities the same way. I'm sorry, you're going to unpack this and I'm adding more layers.
It's okay.
We think about this as very similar to the way we live in our daily lives. And I like to think about learning in that way. But, you know, we go to different communities and in our day, like if I go to the coffee shop or I go, like I grew up a lobster fisherman, if I'm on a boat or if I've got a hammer in my hand and I'm building something in the backyard, there's really a different part of me that comes out in a different level of investment. And I find the same thing in my online communities. There are online communities like the We Are Media Project, which I'm a critical friend for. I show up occasionally, I make a couple of comments, but I'm not really a part of that community in a core way. I'm this kind of casual member of that community. And there's some people who vaguely know that I'm around, and other people probably have no idea that I'm there. And I really do see this kind of subtlety in terms of the way that we interact. And the more that we understand those things, the easier it is to think about learning in that way. And because that is actually the way we normally learn. You know, that's how we all learned how to bake a cake, if you happen to know how to do that. You had a various level of investment, and finally one day you picked it up based on however your context was at the time.
My mom actually did lessons, and there was a classroom.
You're kidding.
We had desks in the kitchen. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, I'm
kidding. Hey, man.
Yeah, there were desks, and they were in rows, and it took 6 weeks before we even got to touch the flower.
That's right.
Not that I'm bitter about.
No. So, it was cocoa.
You talked about roles, and we'll come back to the online bit of community in a minute, but I want to ask you more about roles. Like, how do you decide which persona or which role you're going to take in a community, or do you decide that?
I've had to become more pragmatic. I do now, certainly, think about it before I actually get in. And actually, you know, it's funny, I do the same thing in my everyday life, where when I was in my early 20s, I'd be more likely to just throw myself into whatever personal situation seemed really entertaining. And now, not that I've gotten a whole lot older than that, but as I get a little bit older, I'm a little bit more cautious about how much emotional investment I'm going to be able to put into a sort of day-to-day community. And my learning communities are the same. I have to sort of conserve the energy that I have and sort of focus it on the things that I think I'm going to enjoy more, the things that I know I'm going to be able to do well in, and be more careful in my commitments. Because my biggest problem is that I can exert a lot of energy in short periods of time. But in order, if I do that in too many different places, then I can't get any of them done. And then I push a lot, it creates, in some cases, creates dependency relationships. And then I just can't continue it. And then things start to fall in the places where I've stepped in. So I think it's really important to be careful in terms of how you do approach those and what roles. And I think it is really important. It behooves anybody who has even the moderate amount of acceptance in communities, because there are some people in these communities who actually know who I am before I get there, to make sure that I'm super, super clear about what I'm doing there and what I'm able to do at the outset. So yeah, definitely a very conscious thing for me now.
So, but how do you make the decision? I mean, it sounds like you think about the ability you're able to contribute, but say, you know, speak to a newer teacher who's just delving into, say, online communities. How do they make a decision about how much to get invested, or what role to take? You know, are they going to be the jester, or are they going to be the learner? How do you start to develop the? Well, I'll just let you answer the question.
It's a tough question, and unfortunately, my answer is not particularly encouraging. It's not easy. If you look at any online community, if you have if it's a strong community, if you have an expectation that you're going to be able to make that decision on the first online community you ever meet, that expectation is it's really unrealistic. It's entirely possible that by magic happenstance, you just might happen to find a community that's already geared in the way you already think. Really unlikely. More likely, you are going to have to be a lurker and get a sense for how communities work at the outset so that you can even make an informed judgment. So if you walk into whether it's a community or not, it's kind of on the edge of the definition. But one example that I always think of is FARC.com. It's an online news website where people say some very, very graphic things. In some cases, some very, very insightful things. And some cases, there's some really, really talent, some people with a great deal of talent doing work there. And in some cases, some stuff that's very, very offensive. And I think of it as a nice little microcosm of the way the internet works and the way communities work. There's an entirely there's a created language in there that takes a long time to get a sense of. Okay, you need to go and read and get a sense for how people talk before you can really participate in that community. And that is, it's, if you go there now and you take a look at it, if you pull up in one page, you may look at it and go, these people are obnoxious, they're terrible, and I want nothing to do with them. If you continue reading, you'll see that they're actually a cross-section of society. They're all people there, and there just aren't as many restrictions on the way that they speak. So if you're going to choose whether or not you're going to become part of that community, you have to actually get a big enough sense of how they work. Let me take a simpler example, like in a sense a more complicated example, but one that's not as easy to draw out. If you look at EdTech Talk, there are 12 weekly online shows. Some people never ever come to the live shows. We've met them at conferences. I get emails from people occasionally, and they ask me how my son is. And I go, I don't say who are you anymore, but it's because they've been listening to the show for 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. And they know exactly what I've done all the way along the line. But that's their way of participating. They're only receivers. There are other people who have served that way and slowly gotten a sense for how the community works and then got to the point, we see this happen all the time, where people show up and we go, hi, we've never seen you before. And they start talking like they've always been there. It's because they've been listening for a year first. Right. And there are other people who are more comfortable with diving in, and they learn better by diving in and sort of working their way out. And that works for some people too. But really, you need to know who you are. You need to get a sense for how much time you have. But more than anything else, you need to listen to that community. You need to really get a sense for what they're like. The same way that if you're moving to a new town, the same way if you walked into a new teacher's lounge for the first time, you got to sort of suss out where people are, get a sense for what the groups are, the communities are, and choose according to, you know, the knowledge of yourself and what you can do. And I don't think that's a really helpful answer, but I don't think there is another one. It just, it takes a long time.
No, I think that is a helpful answer. I think that's actually, that resonates quite nicely with what I continue to learn. It isn't easy. You know, everybody wants a magic answer.
No, it's, and that's where leaders really do come in. If you look at, I think, probably the nicest example of this we have out there is the course that Alec Kouros taught last spring. It's going to be a lot of conversation right now with the difference between an open course and the difference between an open course and the internet. So what actually is the difference between just going out on the internet and finding all this stuff and actually taking a course through a traditional institution? Well, what you get with somebody like Alec is Alec actually introduced them to those communities. He brought them, he gave them a sense of how you can participate. He showed them where they were, gave them a sense of who the primary sort of core members of those communities were, gave them inside understanding of how they worked so that people could evaluate better. And I think looking for those leaders who are going to help you go in is, I would say, probably the most interesting of professions that's coming out of this whole this whole evolution for educators is that idea of like a community leader, and where it certainly is for me, because that's what I'm doing, so obviously I'm biased, but I really, really enjoy that process. And as an educator, it's a really interesting one to take people through that and sort of give them some of the tips along the way. And I think finding a leader who actually can help you do that is maybe the easiest way to go about it. And certainly taking a course like the Connectivism course, as esoteric as some of the content is, taking an open course like that, the 2,200 other people are taking, is a really nice way of getting a crash course in all the different ways in which you can actually communicate with other people. It'll overwhelm you. And I mean, my course in the summer, those blog posts are online right now if your listeners want to go check them out. There's some woman, the second day after she went home, she started crying when she got in because the course was so hard. And I didn't quite want that to happen, but I threw them in to the deep end and said, I'm going to be here with you guys for 30 hours. All I can do, I can't teach you the technology. I can't teach you communities. I can't tell you what to do. All I can do is stand here and try to support you through your burgeoning understanding of it. And that, whether you take 2 years and do it slowly, or whether you try to do it like my poor students in 30 hours or 35 hours, that's still that same transition. It's still that huge mind shift to believing that an online community is pretty much exactly the same as a face-to-face community.
So really it's not It's not different to you. Let me ask that different. Yeah, go ahead.
It's no more different than a community of athletes is from a community of artists. They're very, very different. You need to interact in very, very different ways. I happen to do pretty well in both of those communities. I grew up as an athlete and sort of have worshipped artists because I have absolutely no artistic skill whatsoever, but yet quite appreciate it when I see it. But I do fairly well in both of those communities. I have a lot in common with both groups, but extraordinarily different approaches. The mores, the body language, all those things are very, very different. I think of the step to different kinds of online communities as being that kind of leap. It's not a category leap. It's not a different kind of thing. They're just different kinds of the same thing.
So would you say an online group of or community of athletes and an offline community of athletes are pretty similar?
I would say they probably would be. Yeah. Certainly the teachers, the educator stuff certainly does seem to work out that way. There are things that are different. People seem this kind of conversation is different than a face-to-face one. I mean, there are far fewer distractions. There are far fewer physical awkward. Like if you're with people who are physically awkward, this is a really freeing experience. There's no worry of distraction and stuff like that. I find it's almost a more focused conversation once you get accustomed to the medium. And again, you need to get accustomed to the medium. The first time anybody comes to doing a discussion where, you know, I'm staring at a monitor screen and what's on it. There's the career batting statistics from some guy I was looking at, which I haven't looked at since we started this conversation. I have my Skype window open and a bunch of links, and I've got stuff all over my desk, and my cat just walked past me 3 times. So there's stuff happening in front of me, but I've gotten to the point now where I don't see any of that. Those literacies that you need to acquire, and there's no way you can be taught those literacies. You just need to do them. You know? So there is that distinction. But
I mean, I guess I'd say that offline we've been doing those types of social literacies pretty much nonstop anytime we go out in public, and if we had a family at home, anytime we were at home.
Yeah.
So we really just need to get caught up really quick in a hurry and spend all our time online. And
my feeling is I take a very different position to this than most people I know. I think the slow immersion is nonsense. I think it's a waste of time. I think that people should find the most concentrated way. And this is a feeling that has completely changed in my approach to this in the last 6 to 12 months. I used to say, you know, a couple of hours a week, do it over. And now find the most concentrated way you can make the transition as possible. Once you make it once you get into the cold water, you won't have to turn back because you'll never have to again. Whereas the slow burn is something that's really hard to sustain because it can be. There's going to be a lot of little things like little computer issues and stuff that's going to make you turn away, like it does if you're trying to learn the guitar. Or if you think about any of the other things you learn normally, like trying to learn the guitar is something I've been trying to do for 15 years. I'll play for a while, I'll hurt my finger in some way, and then I'll be 6 months before it's like I cut the tip off my finger once. And it took me 6 months before it was actually healed enough that I could press down the guitar strings. And by then, I'd start all over again. It's always been kind of picking at it. And what I really need to do is just sit down for a long enough time to make it automatic. And then it would be fine after that. And I think this is the same kind of thing. You just need to dive in and stay there for long enough that your body acclimatizes to the temperature.
And to what end? I mean, what's the value?
What's the value? No, it's okay. It's just, I can tell you what the value is for me. The communities that they're far, like I learn way, way more in the communities that I'm in than I do anywhere else. I've never taken a course that has been in any way as valuable, except for maybe typing in grade 10, in any way as valuable than the communities that I participate in. EdTech Talk is the way that I keep learning in the technological part of what I do. The CCK08, this connectivism course community, though it's sort of refined itself down to about I would say 20 core members, and there's maybe 100, 150 sort of in and out members. It's been really, really a great place for discussion, and it's starting to warm up now. And you see it, like, the end of the discussion tonight, people are like, hey guys, it was really great to talk to you guys tonight. Whereas even 2 or 3 weeks ago, it was like, and that ends our discussion for this week, and your homework is blah, 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 blah. And that's all starting to break down now. It's all sort of, hey, but the conversation is better than it was. People are more free to discuss. We're learning more together. People are bringing in a lot of different pieces and a lot of different backgrounds that would never occur in a traditional learning classroom. Like, I dropped Humpty Dumpty in there tonight from Alice in Wonderland, which is maybe one of the best introductions to the interpretation of language that you could ever have, to the philosophy of language. And I just tossed it in. So I went, oh, well, geez, I never thought of it in that context before. And somebody else threw something else in. It was way, way out from the work that they did. But much like in university, I learned more in the coffee shop than I did in my classrooms. I find that communities serve that. There is a value, obviously, to a more structured traditional classroom. Some people, and I'm particularly suited to this kind of learning. I like the chaos. It entertains me. But it is learning without alienation, you know. It's learning beyond, not all, but a lot of the power structures. You don't end up feeling like you're waiting to be told something. You're more in the process of learning something as it's happening, you know, and that knowledge evolves. And there's something really empowering about that. And there's something really emotionally satisfying about being able to learn with a group of people you really enjoy spending time with, you know, and you end up forming personal relationships at the same time that you're actually pulling in things that end up being really, really valuable for the work that you do. There's nothing like context. You know, there's nothing like a larger context. And if you've got 15, I hear you sort of making intakes of breath to cut me off there, but I'm going to keep going. No, I'm not afraid, bud. There's something really wonderful about having 15 teachers look at the idea that you just came up with and go, oh, I tried that part over there before. Let me tell you what happened to me. And that kind of thing where, yeah, that happens in your teaching, but it pushes your context. It pushes your boundaries. It's nothing like having somebody from, you know, Brazil tell you that, you know, you're kind of being racist, if you think about it that way. Because, you know, look at the way that this looks outside of Canada or outside of America. And think about the fact that, you know, in the context that you're spelling, you're really only thinking about North America. And, you know, you go, oh, geez, you know, I think I am. And that's the kind of experience that's not always going to happen inside of, particularly those of us who are from towns of 40,000 in the middle of, you know, the frozen wastelands of Canada. You know, I think of, what's his face out in the deep, dark north out west, Clarence.
Oh, in that
town
sure.
of yeah. yeah, in that town of what 5,000 people out there, he's one of the most influential school classroom educators. Who's certainly I think one of the most that I know. I always think about how far his context is expanded by the communities that he's involved in. Not that he doesn't live with a bunch of wonderful people out there. I don't know anything about them really, but you just can't pull in the kind of context. You can't bring in the kind of multiculturalism that you would get in a bigger city or in a different area. The same way that when I think, and I'll let you guide this conversation a little more after I get this one point out. We were talking about Lee Baber earlier and a really passionate educator that she was. One of my favorite moments in EdTech Talkness was a discussion between her and her students from Virginia and Paul Allison and his students from inner city New York. And they were talking about Halloween and their eighth grade students. And they're just talking about their day and they're just sort of bringing it out. And, you know, Lee and Paul are part of the same EdTech Talk community. They sort of talked about how this was going to go and they wanted to bring their students together. And they wanted their students to kind of share that same kind of feeling. It wasn't just from this discussion you have to get. It was, try to get to know these people. Just let's see if we can have a discussion. And the kids from New York were saying, you know, well, are you guys going to go out and, you know, throw toilet paper on people's trees? And the kids from Virginia were like, well, actually, I'm going over to my grandmother's house. We always go over to grandma's place just before we go out and trick or treat. And the kids from New York are like, what? But you're not going to egg anybody's house? And the kid like,
egg someone's house? Oh, I don't think we would do that. Everybody knows who we are. And it was this really, really fantastic discussion. And I'm overselling it, but not by much. And that kind of interaction, you know, there was another one where we had kids from, we had 18-year-olds from Argentina talking to a group from Kuwait. And same kind of thing, same kind of people involved. And the people from Argentina, the girls from Argentina, were talking about their beach party and posted their pictures from their beach party on the group website between the two groups. Of course, the idea of appropriate beach attire in Kuwait is not slightly really the different. Same. Slightly yeah. different than Argentina. And they had some problems and stuff. But still, that kind of sharing, that kind of expanding of your context, I think, is the real value. Yeah, there's lots of learning there, and the learning is far stronger than I get anywhere else. But the emotional connection is just so worthwhile, and the difference of experience, and that sort of opening of your understanding of how other people work. You know, I'm getting all sappy. This is what happens when you start talking to me close to midnight.
It's not sappy at all. I mean, it's very legitimate. I don't have the words to grapple with having a conversation about Lee. And I've listened to lots of people talk about Lee's, the loss of, which is awful, but I know that she still sits in my Skype, and there's a Shilfari friend request that I don't quite know what to do with, you know, like there are all these little pieces of this person that I don't know, that I knew very well, that, I don't know how to deal in my very strict Orthodox community, school, professional, online happy world with like these little bits.
Yeah. No, and I mean, I don't know either. It's, but I know that it matters. And I know that it surprises people that it matters. And the reason why, I bring it up for a couple of reasons. One, she'd love to be part of anybody's learning. And if we can use her as an example for learning, she'd be, wherever she is, she'd be super happy. But it really ends up being a really good example for trying to get a sense of people of what you can gain and how important it ends up being for people that's there. It's not and I think a lot of people who are looking at this for the first time, still somewhere in the back of their minds, even if it's not conscious, imagine us as cave dwelling, video game playing geeks with our fingers, and that this is all we do, and we're, you know, sort of desperate for some kind of connection to somebody. Whereas in reality, none of us, I don't know anybody who planned this. Mm-mm. You know, I took computer science for 1 year at university. I almost failed out because I hated it. I swore I'd never touch another computer again. And the truth is I only really started using them in 2001? 2002, maybe? Like, I mean, using them past having an email account. And started doing a little bit of this and a little bit of that and a little bit more because I needed it in my classroom, and just kind of found a bunch of people and then found some discussions that I found really worthwhile, and now I find myself online a lot. But almost everybody I know is in the same situation. There's very few career geeks out here in these communities. Very few.
Yeah, I actually think I became a career geek because of these communities.
Well, that's right. That's right.
And I didn't mean to, but it sort of happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to keep you too long, but I'm sure it's getting. Actually, I know it's getting very late. But do you have any last thoughts for right now?
Last thought, I think. Funny to hear me lost for words. I think the issue matters. I think for people listening to somebody who's sounding as fanatical as I do tonight, it may sound intimidating. And the truth is it should. Because if you approach the sort of idea of online communities as it's just something that you're going to receive, then you're approaching the wrong kind of thing. The most important thing in any community, in my mind, is your responsibility to that community. I don't care if that's your local community, your community sports field, or your community what do you call them? PTAs.
PTA.
You know, it's not, I'm going to start to sound like Kennedy now. It's not about what you're receiving. It's not about what you're told to do. It's not about what you are going to learn. It's about your contribution. The learning, the knowledge, that stuff, it's actually not that important. That stuff kind of just happens, you know, like it does everywhere else. Like, you know, you're sitting around with somebody someday and they mention something and you go, I've always wondered how to do that. Or I've always wanted to know about that. And it comes. Those moments are everywhere. And they're about, and they come about when you participate and when you give to the discussion, right? That's the key to a community. It's your responsibility to it. That's why it's so important to judge whether or not you're going to get involved. Because it's actually, it's not even just about your time. It's about how willing you are to give of yourself to something and give in that way. And it doesn't have to be a lot. It doesn't have to, it's not like you're selling your soul here, but it's important. And it's particularly important to the people who are already in there because they are giving, right? And really the people who come just to receive, and EdTech Talk is nice to lay that way because you can just listen to the audio, but that's fine. The people who come into our discussions, our back channel discussions, our community discussions, they're open. But the people who come there just to get stuff from us become identified really, really quickly. And we'll have a conversation, we'll have to, and then eventually they'll be politely asked to stop doing that. Because we're not actually, I'm not a repository of the few things that I know for other people. I am a participant and I feel a membership and I feel a responsibility to give what I can to the communities that I'm involved in when I'm working with people who are also giving what they can. It doesn't mean that you need to know as much as, you know, Bud Hunt in order to be part of Bud Hunt's community. It means you have to be giving as much to be in the same part of his community. And that responsibility, I think, is the most important part of the whole community conversation. If you can feel that responsibility and you can understand it, you'll be accepted in almost any community.
Well, those are excellent words to end on, Dave. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate your time. Yeah, this is. Yeah. We'll have to do this again.
Mm-hmm.